God is good. Hebrews chapter 9. You can also read a few more verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm also going to read one in Leviticus 17 and 11. So I'm going to hurry up because I know saints have a hard time standing up. It's just the preachers that are used to it. Amen. God's good. Honor for all of our guests that are here. Come on, this is your gateway to a new world, to a new life. This is it. Look no further. This is it. So I hadn't had time to study it out. Just respond to it. And the more you study it out, you're going to find out this is right. Amen. Hebrews 9, the 22nd verse. And almost all things are by the law, purged with blood. Without shedding of blood is no remission. And without shedding of blood is no remission. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 14. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, this is the reason why. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me read that last part. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. I'll read in Leviticus, the 17th chapter, verse number. Just want to cherry pick one verse here. It's so powerful. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So excited to preach, not because I haven't gotten to preach lately. So excited to preach what I feel God has laid on my heart. I want to preach this morning on this thought: the transforming power of the blood. The transforming power of the blood. Come on, would you set your Bibles down and lift your hands? Heavenly Father, help us today, God. Come on, lift your hands with anticipation. God, I'm anticipating you, God. God, let revelation come. God, let it flow. God, let people see that they've got a greater destiny in Christ Jesus. God, than their fated future in the world. We're going to give you praise in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands to the Lord right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I was reading a while back and something crossed my radar that caught my attention. And the gentleman writing and speaking mentioned that the brain has the incredible ability to automate tasks. And you say, well, how does that work? So, well, it's kind of like muscle memory. Some of these good-looking young men probably go to the gym, maybe. In this front row, we got a few. And the more you engage in that training, the easier it is as your body adjusts and adapts to it and adds more muscle. Your body starts remembering how to do it over and over again. It's the same thing with tasks that require your mind. You can do tasks so many times, and then your brain starts to figure out how to automate it. There are things that you may do the same thing on your job every day, and your brain, because God made it that way, learns how to do it without thinking. In other words, it's not using extra brain power. It has the ability to do that task and no longer use your extra cognitive ability. And so let me give you an example. So how many of you have a commute to work? You got to go back and forth the same way mostly every day. Or there's certain stores you go to constantly, sisters. Amen. And you don't even have to think about it. You just get in the car and drive. And by the time you get there, you look around and say, how did I get here? Because you got there without thinking about it. Because your mind has the ability to automate a task to free the rest of your brain power to learn something else. And so those things that we learn how to automate, they're also easy for us to take for granted. And sometimes in church, we get used to feeling the presence of God. We get used to feeling the power of God and hearing miracles of healing and victory and hearing fabulous preaching. But it's not that way everywhere just because you've gotten used to it. And so, although it's good to automate some things, there's other things we should never take for granted. Come on, you ought to do a little bit better than that. I know some of you are taking it for granted because you're not really getting with me. That's okay. I love you. But I don't ever want to get to the place where I take for granted that there's a revelation called the revelation of the oneness of the Godhead. My Bible says that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We don't serve a trinity. We don't serve a triune or tripartite God. He is one. His name is one. He has one spirit. He had one body, and his name is Jesus. Somebody ought to get excited about the name of Jesus. Come on, there's power in that name. There's power to save. There's power to heal. There's power to set free. Come on, somebody ought to shout that name on Sunday morning. Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you shall all likewise die in your sins. You got to believe that Jesus is your Savior. Come on, if you believe Jesus is the Savior, clap your hands right now. You may be seated. I don't want you to run out of energy. We got to pray in a little bit. I don't ever want to take for granted that when we repent of our sins and turn away from them, that it's symbolic or represents Christ dying on the cross and giving up his human will so that the will of the Father could be done. Do you want God to have his way in your life today? You got to first give up your will. In fact, I don't even care how good you've been. You still got to give up your will. Jesus said, there's not one good. There's not one righteous save God. Quit trying to act like you're so high and mighty. Quit acting like you're somebody. Now, all you super Christians, we're going to have a meeting after church and we're going to whoop your behinds. Because I'm sick of all this. I'm better than you and I'm holier than you. You need Jesus like everybody else, honey. Hey, even after you get redeemed, that's why you got to keep coming to church, because we've all got issues and we need Jesus. You ought to lift your hands and say, thank God he loves me. Hallelujah. In fact, come on, if you need a miracle today, you ought to lift your hands and admit, God, I need you today. I need you. Come on, get rid of that pride. Get rid of your pride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I don't want to take for granted that when we're baptized in that only saving name, and there is no other way to be baptized. Everything else is just you going swimming. You have to invoke the name. It's above every name. You have to invoke the name of the one who shed his sinless blood. And we don't want to talk about the titles that he fulfilled and the roles that he performed without telling what his name is. His name is Jesus. So when you go to sign that apartment lease or sign for your car, they don't care if you're a father, a brother, a son, or a neighbor. They want to know what your name is, because you're responsible to pay the debt. And only one was able to pay the debt. Thank God for the blood. Thank God for his sacrifice. Come on, how many is thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Come on, he took the nails. He took the nails so I didn't have to take the nails. I was the one who deserved death, but he took death in my place. Come on, that's why I have a problem with people who are full of pride. You couldn't have died for yourself and then got back up out of the grave. You're not God. You need God. Hallelujah. So I don't want to take it for granted. But many of you are you're battling with things in your mind, and you hear the stories about people being saved and transformed and delivered and set free, and you say, could it really happen for me? And the adversary of your soul, the devil, he'll give you as many reasons as you need to push off the truth. It occurred to me the other day, one of the reasons why lying is one of the worst sins is because Jesus Christ is the truth. And so lying is the diametric opposite of God's nature. And so if you're living a lie, you're always going to be under pressure because God's pushing on that. So it's time to quit being a hypocrite. Hypocrite means an actor or an actress. It's time to quit acting like you're saved, and it's time to start being saved. It's time to quit acting like you got the Holy Ghost and start living like you've got it. You act like it in front of everybody else, but what are you when nobody's looking? So I was reading, and then I talked to a pastor friend of mine, and his sister has a condition known as aplastic anemia. I didn't know anything about it. He said it's a condition where people's body, their bone marrow, which is where blood is produced, quits producing any more blood cells. And the scripture says clearly this morning that the life is in the blood. And if you don't have new blood refreshing your body, you are going to die. And so he said because of this, she went to the doctor, and they said the only treatment that we have is a stem cell transplant, also known as a bone marrow transplant. And I started looking at what bone marrow produces. It produces red blood cells that carry oxygen to organs in your body. Kind of important. Bone marrow produces white blood cells. Those are the leukocytes that fight off infection, that war against foreign invaders, such as COVID-19. Huh? The devil is a liar. And it also produces platelets, which helps your body when a foreign object or something cuts in or makes a gash or wounds you and you start bleeding, the platelets come to stop the bleeding and they scab over. Doesn't look pretty, but it'll save your life. And so when your body quits producing blood cells from the bone marrow, you're in trouble. And so she was in trouble. And so they said, we're going to do a bone marrow transplant. We got to find a match. And they prayed and they found a match from a man overseas. And he agreed to donate. And he donated his bone marrow. And they did the transplant. And she came through it. And thank God she's still living today and doing fairly well. And we thank God for that miracle. He said, but after the transplant was over, he said she had to go back for more blood testing to make sure it was working properly. He said, and they started testing her blood and her DNA started coming back different. And they started testing it. And over time, her DNA got more and more different. Hey, and if you don't think I know what DNA means, it's deribonucleic acid. Just so you know. I know what I'm talking about a little bit. My wife's the nurse. She knows what she's really talking about. But they found out that the DNA from the person that donated had started taking over and transforming her body into another man's DNA. I read an article in the New York Times about a man from out west, and he had a form of leukemia, and he had to transplant the same way, and they found out the same phenomenon, that his DNA was transformed into the DNA of the man that donated. I submit to you today that when you repent of your sins and you die out to your old life and you're buried with Christ in baptism in His name, all things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new, and He fills you with His Spirit. And now, when you take on the name of Jesus, you get a new identity. You get a new family. Ephesians 3:20 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. It's the name of Jesus. We get a new life. Come on, because the life is in the blood. When you get baptized in the name of Jesus, you get a new bloodline. I don't have the same daddy anymore. I don't have the same mama anymore. How many thankful for the transforming power of the blood? I submit to you that when you truly repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus, come on, that there's a transformation in your DNA. You're not going to think the same anymore. You're not going to live the same anymore. Come on, things are different now. Come on, lift your hands and love Him right now. Come on, lift your voice, would you? Come on, I'm coming to a close. Hitalabu Shataya. Come on, lift your voice and pray for a minute. Ah, Jesus! Jesus! This is why the gospel message is so powerful. Because there's many of us, and we're all in the same boat for one reason or another, because we're in the human condition. But let me tell you, some of us have family issues that go back decades and generations. Your daddy was this, so you're going to be that. Your mama was this, and you can't help but follow in her footsteps. Your uncles were like this. Your aunts were like this. This one was like this. Your cousins are like this. But I'm here to push back and say, when you take on the name of Jesus, you get a new bloodline. Come on, and the old curses from your family identity are broken. Just because they did drugs or they were in gangs doesn't mean you have to. Just because your daddy was a womanizer doesn't mean you have to be. Come on, just because they were a carouser doesn't mean you have to be. By the blood of Jesus, I have a new identity. Come on, ya la 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 boshata. Come on, I feel it right now. I feel it right now. Some of you are wanting to obey the word of God by faith. You're wanting to obey this morning, but you're saying, I've seen people start and they didn't finish. Come on, you've seen it. You see people start off and they didn't finish. They quit in the midst. They turn back. Let me tell you what happens when you have a transplant. Because your body knows it's a foreign organ. Your body is constantly trying to push it out. And you have to take anti-rejection drugs. They're called immunosuppressants. Because your body tries to kill that which is foreign. And when you get a transplant and you're delivered, you're set free, and God baptizes you with His Spirit, This is why we preach. It's absolutely necessary that you don't miss a church service. Come on. That you don't miss a Bible study. That you don't miss a prayer meeting. That you don't miss reading your Bible. Come on. That's your anti-rejection drugs. Come on. This flesh, Brother Callan, never gets saved. It's always trying to push against what God has done. But I'm here to tell you, you get your flesh by the nap of the neck and you say, son, you're going to church. You're going to pray. You're going to live right because God's been too good to you. Come on, has God been good to anybody in this?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
If you can stand, stand to your feet. I'm fixing to close. Some of you are saying, I just cannot see myself becoming what I see so-and-so has become. It's not in the, they use the little phrase, it's not in the cards for me. I don't care about the cards. God's will is bigger than your little cards or tarot cards or whatever else that they've been lying to you about. I curse that witchcraft. The devil is a liar. And you say, well, how can I become? Brother Callan, I started reading about bone marrow. The stem cells that are in the bone marrow, many of them are immature. And the reason they're immature is because the body stores them there for when it needs to make growth spurts. And depending on what is growing, those cells can be transformed into whatever is necessary for the body to grow and become what it's designed to be. When you get the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in the name of Jesus and you get the new identity, you become a part of a new body. Huh? Stored in the bones is potential. For you to become exactly what God ordained for you to be. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, I feel so much Holy Ghost right now. When the Holy Ghost took Ezekiel out into a valley full of dry bones, he said, son of man, can these bones live? He said, Lord, thou knowest. He said, all I see is a valley full of dry bones, and lo, they were very dry. Come on, but God said, preach to the bones anyhow. You know why? Because there's marrow in the bones. Come on, come on, somebody, bring your broken bones to Jesus. Come on, he's going to send a man of God. He's going to prophesy to the bones. And the bones are going to start coming back together. You want your life to come back together? Keep coming to church. Brother Michael, when you read Ezekiel 37, he said, he spoke to the bones. The bones came back together. God put the sinews, come on, and the flesh on it. Then he said, prophesy to the spirit. Prophesy to the wind, and spirit and life came back into the bones. You know, he never mentioned blood. He never mentioned blood. And the life is in the blood, Brother Callan. Where did the blood come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It was already in the bones. God knew all he had to do was put the bones in order and flesh it out. There was blood in the bones. I'm telling you, there's transforming power in the blood. There's transforming power in the blood. Musicians, come right now. Come on, lift your voice right now. Come on. I lose your faith to override every lie of hell. Come on, you say, is it for me? Are you breathing? Are you alive? It is for you and your children and to all that are far off. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. If you believe God is able, lift your hands. Come on, if you believe God is able, lift your hands right now. If you believe it and you got your hands raised, the Bible says faith without works is dead. I want you to come right now. Quick, quick, quick. Don't wait. Now, right now. Come on, quick, quick, quick. Come on, lift. You got your hands. Come on, right now. Come on, I appreciate you men taking a stand. And come on, come on, come on, by faith. Come on, don't let your neighbors stop you. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Today is your day. Come on, right now, right now. Come on, let's start praying right now.